Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 16, How Parikshit Received the Age of Kali. Text 20. Correct, yeah? 20. Padar.
Yunam
Shochasi
Maika Padam
Atmanam Vrishalaya
Bokshamanam
Aho
Suradi
Rita
Yagya
Bhaga
Raja
Uta
Svin
Magavati
Avarshati
Padar Nunam Shochasi Maika Padam.
Padar Nunam Shochasi Maika Padam.
Atmanam Vavrishalai Bokshamana.
Atmanam Vavrishalai Bokshamana.
Aho Suradin Hrityagya Bhaga.
Aho Suradin Hrityagya Bhaga.
Praja Uta Svin Magavatya Varshati.
Praja Uta Svin Magavatya Varshati.
Padarnunam Shochasi Maika Padam.
Padarnunam Shochasi Maika Padam.
Atmanam Vavrishalai Bokshamana.
Atmanam Vavrishalai Bokshamana.
Aho Suradin Hrita Yagya Bhaga.
Aho Suradin Hrita Yagya Bhaga.
Praja Uta Svin Magavatya Varshati.
Praja Uta Svin Magavatya Varshati.
Padar Nunam Shochasi Maika Padam.
Padar Nunam Shochasi Maika Padam.
Atmanam Vavrishalai Bokshamana.
Atmanam Vavrishalai Bokshamanam.
Aho Suradin Hrita Yagya Bhaga.
Aho Suradin Hrita Yagya Bhaga.
Praja Uta Svin Magavatya Varshati.
Praja Uta Svin Magavatya Varshati.
Padai.
By three legs.
By three legs.
Nunam.
Nunam.
Diminished.
Diminished.
Shochasi.
Shochasi.
If you are lamenting for that.
If you are lamenting for that.
Ma.
Ma.
My.
My.
Ekapada.
Ekapada.
Only one leg.
Only one leg.
Atmana.
Atmana.
Own body.
Own body.
Va.
Va.
Or.
Or.
Vrishalai.
Vrishalai.
By the unlawful meat eaters.
By the unlawful meat eaters.
Bokshamana.
Bokshamana.
To be exploited.
To be exploited.
Aho.
Aho.
In sacrifice.
In sacrifice.
Suradin.
Suradin.
The authorized demigods.
The authorized demigods.
Hrityagya,
Hrityagya,
devoid of sacrificial.
Devoid of sacrificial.
Bhagan.
Bhagan.
Share.
Share.
Praja.
Praja.
The living beings.
The living beings.
Uta.
Uta.
Increasing.
Increasing.
Svet.
Svet.
Weather.
Weather.
Magavati.
Magavati.
In famine and scarcity.
In famine and scarcity.
Avarshati.
Avarshati.
Because of rainlessness.
Because of rainlessness.
Translation. I have lost my three legs and am standing on one only. Are you lamenting for my state of existence? Or are you in great anxiety because henceforward the unlawful meat eaters will exploit you? Or are you in a sorry plight because the demigods are now bereft of their share of sacrificial offerings because no sacrifices are being performed at present? Or are you grieving for living beings because of their sufferings due to famine and drought? Purport by Srila Prabhupada. With the progress of the age of Kali, four things particularly, namely the duration of life, mercy, the power of recollection, and moral or religious principles, will gradually diminish. Since dharma, or the principles of religion, would be lost in the proportion of three out of four, the symbolic bull was standing on one leg only. When three-fourths of the population of the whole world become irreligious, the situation is converted into hell for the animals. In the age of Kali, godless civilizations will create so many so-called religious societies in which the personality of Godhead will be directly or indirectly defied. And thus faithless societies of men will make the world uninhabitable for the saner section of people. There are gradations of human beings in terms of proportionate faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The first class faithful men are the Vaishnavas and the Brahmins, then the Kshatriyas, then the Vaishyas, then the Shudras, then the Malechas, the Yavanas, and at last, the Chandalas. The degradation of the human instinct begins from the Malechas, and the Chandala state of life is the last word in human degradation. All the above terms mentioned in the Vedic literatures are never meant for any particular community or birth. They are different qualifications of human beings in general. There is no question of birthright or community. One can acquire the respective qualifications by one's own efforts, and thus the son of a Vaishnav can become a Malecha, or the son of a Chandala can become more than a Brahmin, all in terms of their association and intimate relation with the Supreme Lord. The meat eaters are generally called Malechas, but all meat eaters are not Malechas. Those who accept meat in terms of scriptural injunctions are not Malechas, but those who accept meat without restriction are called Malechas. Beef is forbidden in the scriptures, and the bulls and cows are offered special protection by followers of the Vedas. But in this age of Kali, people will exploit the body of the bull and the cow as they like, and thus they will invite sufferings of various types. The people of this age will not perform any sacrifice. The Malecha population will care very little for performances of sacrifices, although performance of sacrifice is essential for persons who are materially engaged in sense enjoyment. In the Bhagavad Gita, performance of sacrifices is strongly recommended. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3, verse 14 to 16. The living beings are created by the Creator Brahma, and just to maintain the created living being progressively towards the path back to Godhead, the system of performing sacrifice is also created by him. The system is that living beings live on the produce of grains and vegetables, and by eating such foodstuff they get vital power of the body in the shape of blood and semen. And from blood and semen, one living being is able to create other living beings. But the production of grains, grass, etc. becomes possible by rain. And this rain is made to shower properly by performance of recommended sacrifices. Such sacrifices are directed by the rites of the Vedas, namely Samayajur Rig and Atharva. In the Manusmriti, it is recommended that by offerings of sacrifice on the altar of the fire, the sun god is pleased. When the sun god is pleased, he properly collects water from the sea, and thus sufficient clouds collect on the horizon and rains fall. After sufficient rains fall, there is sufficient production of grains for men and all animals, and thus there is energy in the living being for progressive activity. The Malechas, however, make plans to install slaughterhouses for killing bulls and cows, along with other animals, thinking that they will prosper by increasing the number of factories and live on animal food without caring for performance of sacrifices and production of grains. But they must know that even for the animals, they must produce grass and vegetables. Otherwise, the animals cannot live. And to produce grass for the animals, they require sufficient rains. Therefore, they have to depend ultimately on the mercy of the demigods, like the sun god, Indra and Chandra, and such demigods must be satisfied by performances of sacrifice. This material world is a sort of prison house, as we have several times mentioned. The demigods are the servants of the Lord who see to the proper upkeep of the prison house. These demigods want to see that the rebel living beings who want to survive faithlessly are gradually turned towards the supreme power of the Lord. Therefore, the system of offering sacrifice is recommended in the scriptures. The materialistic men want to work hard and enjoy fruit of results for sense enjoyment. Thus, they are committing many types of sins at every step of life. Those, however, who are consciously engaged in the devotional service of the Lord are transcendental to all varieties of sin and virtue. Their activities are free from the contamination of the three modes of material nature. For the devotees, there's no need for performance of prescribed sacrifices, because the very life of the devotee is a symbol of sacrifice. But persons who are engaged in fruitive activities for sense enjoyment must perform the prescribed sacrifices, because that is the only means to get free from the reactions of all sins committed by fruitive workers. Sacrifice is the means for counteracting such accumulated sins. The demigods are pleased when such sacrifices are performed, just as prison officers are satisfied when the prisoners are turned into obedient subjects. Lord Chaitanya, however, has recommended only one yajna, or sacrifice, called the Sankirtan yajna, the chanting of Hare Krishna, in which everyone can take part. Thus, both devotees and fruitive workers can derive equal benefit from the performances of Sankirtan Yajna. Hare Krishna. Let me just read the verse again. Padanyanam shochasi maikapada matmanam vavrishaya bokshamanam ahosuradin rita yajna bhagan praja utaswin magavacha varshati. This is dharma, the personality of religion, in the form of a bull, speaking to Mother Earth, who's in the form of a cow. I have lost my three legs and am now standing on one only. Are you lamenting for my state of existence? Or are you in great anxiety because henceforward
the unlawful meat-eaters will exploit you? Or are you in a sorry plight because the demigods are now bereft of their share of sacrificial offerings because no sacrifices are being performed at present? Or are you grieving for living beings because of their sufferings due to famine and drought? Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharne Niravishesha Shunyavadi Paschachyade Shatarne Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasati Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchika Kripa Sindhu Bhyabja Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Yes, so this is a very interesting part of Srimad Bhagavatam. Kali, the personality of Kali Yuga, abusing, very, very severely abusing the personality of religion and Mother Earth. In a direct sense, physically, the personality of religion, but Mother Earth is also very upset and means very abused, feeling abused, and she is abused, actually. So Dharma here... Now he is in the process, beginning with the previous verse, of questioning Mother Earth, trying to find out why she is so unhappy. And he's suggesting one possible reason after another. Many possible reasons here. Here there's a number of them. What there looks like there's four of them. Or five maybe. Are you lamenting because I, means the personality of religion, I have been attacked and my three of my legs have been cut off? Is that why you're lamenting? Or are you lamenting, second reason, possibility, because the unlawful meat-eaters are going to be exploiting you in Kali Yuga and killing you just very, you know, callously? Or three, are you upset because the demigods are not receiving their share of sacrificial offerings because no sacrifices are being performed? Or are you grieving for the living beings in general who are suffering due to famine and drought? Which do you think is the reason that Mother Earth is lamenting of these four devotees? Well done. Thank you. Someone's thinking. All of them, of course. Of course. And there are more, like we said, it goes on for a few verses where Dharma, the personality of religion, is just suggesting, well, what about this? Could it be that? Could it be something else? And the thing is that it's all of these, and it's all of them, just all of them, in all the verses. This is what happens in Kali Yuga. And it's a really, you could express it in different ways. It's a very unfortunate situation, extremely unfortunate. It's a very shocking situation, actually, that things could become so bad needlessly. There's just no good reason why the people should become like this. Abused religion, eating meat unlawfully, not offer sacrifices. There's no good reason. Doesn't have to be like that. Doesn't have to be like that. Basically, in a sense, ultimately, really, what is happening is that people are, so to speak, sometimes they use the term, shoot yourself in the foot. Are you familiar with this term? You just mess yourself up without any assistance from anyone else. Needlessly, foolishly, you just create a bad situation for yourself. That isn't that just too bad? But this is what's happening. This is what all these points here are really bringing out. That by doing these different things, abusing religion, and killing the cows and the bulls, not performing sacrifice. There's no good reason to do these things, to act and live like that. There's no good reason. It's really due to a very poor fund of knowledge on one hand, and just uncontrolled material desires on the other hand, combined with just less intelligence. The system is there. Prabhupada mentions in the purport that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he refers to Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3, verses 14 to 16. There's a series of verses there. There's a number of verses there, pointing out the importance of sacrifice. That in the beginning of creation, the Lord of all creatures sent forth generations of men and demigods, along with sacrifices for Vishnu, and blessed them by saying, "Be thou happy by the performance of these sacrifices, because they will bring you happiness and success in this life, and then they'll give you liberation also, back home, back to Godhead." How does that verse begin? I forget. Chapter 3, verse 10. I forget how it begins. This is how the Sanskrit begins. But that's the translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has actually arranged this material world specifically in those ways. It's specifically designed for the performance of sacrifice and all the different facilities which are available, are actually intended to be used in sacrifice. They're not just intended to be used just for our enjoyment. God is so kind, He's just given us all this stuff which we can just exploit for our sense gratification with no sense of real responsibility. Yes, so this is very unfortunate, extremely unfortunate. And there's a famous story which Prabhupada did mention, the story of the goose who laid the, was it the goose? I think the goose, who laid the golden egg. Are you familiar with that story? There was a man who had a goose, and the goose every day would lay a golden egg. It's very valuable. So the man was just taking the golden eggs and just using them, just exchanging them for money or whatever, different things. In this way, he was developing an opulent way of life. But then he became a little annoyed that, okay, the goose is providing the golden eggs, very good, but I have to spend money on feeding the goose. It's no good. It's a liability. I'm not making so much profit. You know, of course, it can't cost that much to feed a goose. And he must have been getting a lot from the golden eggs. But still, his foolish sense of economy and need for more profit and these types of very foolish calculations he was making, he thought that whatever he was feeding the goose, that was a loss, and he wanted to cut his losses. So he thought that, yes, the end, the part of the goose, the end of the goose, which I have to feed, is bad. What comes out of that? Nothing of value. But the other end of the animal, where the golden eggs come out, that's good. That's very good. I like that. So what I'll do to cut costs, maximize profits, and in this way increase enjoyment, what I will do is cut off the head of the goose and keep the back part. There's a famous story, actually. And in this way maximize my profits, but obviously this is simply a recipe of foolishness, just absolutely and altogether a false sense of economy. So in different ways, people in material life nowadays, in different ways, they have the same sort of mentality. And they think doing sacrifice, like pouring ghee into a fire and just burning it up, we shouldn't do that. We should use the ghee for cooking so we can eat and enjoy. Yeah, they think it's a waste. And in the process of, at least the traditional Vedic process of sacrifice, they would offer all sorts of things, including very valuable things, just into the fire, gone, like that. So these people who think in this way, like this very short-sighted way, they think that, what's the point? You know, we're using up our whatever reserves we have, plus it takes time, and we have to pay people to do it, and but we should just work hard. That's all we should do. If we just work hard, we can get plenty of stuff. That all the things we're trying to get through sacrifice, we can just get them through working hard. And we don't need to worry about this. They think it's sort of foolish, like kind of just wasting things and wasting time, yeah, on some meaningless ritual. So work hard. There is even amongst some religious people, there's what they call, have you heard of the Protestant work ethic? Did you hear of that? The Protestant. You know who the Protestants are. The Protestant work ethic means God has provided so much stuff for us to enjoy, and all we have to do is be pious, worship God, and work hard, and by His grace, we'll get so many things. Yeah. So, So, but in general, so many people think that why bother with religion? What's the point when we can just work hard and get the same things and maybe get more? And of course, it goes a step further. If you think about this whole process of degradation of the human spirit, it goes even further that there are people who want to get all those things, comforts, etc., which traditionally would have been provided through religious means. But then more recently people think, don't worry about the religious means, just work hard and we'll get the same things. But then there's a further degradation, that why even work hard when you can steal it? Yes. You can just go into a bank, and if you're clever enough, in a matter of minutes, you can get millions and walk away, and that's it. So why even work hard? The problem is that as people get further away from the proper system of Vedic sacrifice, as they move further away, then more sinful reaction starts coming. If they just work hard, they definitely get much more sinful reaction than if they were properly performing sacrifice. And if they just steal things, they get much more sinful reaction, much more than if they either worked for them or got them through religious means, through the process of sacrifice. So the Vedic system actually recognizes the needs, you could say, or if not the needs, but the Vedic literatures recognize the nature of the conditioned souls, that they are here in this material world because they want to enjoy sense gratification. So the Vedic literatures provide a process of sacrifice and other different types of religious performances, worship of demigods and things like this, even austerities, even giving charity. Different types of activities are presented in the Vedic literatures by which people can get sense gratification as such and really enjoy eating, sleeping, even sex life and comforts and all these things. Yeah, the desires of the conditioned souls to enjoy are facilitated by the Vedic tradition. And if people would simply follow that, then they would get massive enjoyment. Now, you know, people, you know, they have the idea of working hard and stealing, you know, cheat the government of tax, cheat the people by taxing them too much, and things like this. But what is the result? What is the result? Is the result that through giving up sacrifice and just focusing on just getting facilities for sense gratification, has the enjoyment increased? Or has the opulence increased? We see pictures of Krishna as a child, little Krishna, preschool age, just a small boy, and he's decorated with golden ornaments, necklaces, earrings, bangles, ankle bells, and things like this. And it's not. We might think, well, he's Krishna, and they all know who he is. Therefore, they provide him with these extremely valuable things, despite the fact that he's just a little child. But, you know, if it wasn't Krishna, if it wasn't this very special Supreme Lord Krishna, just some other child in the village, then he won't have anything. He will not have anything. Maybe they put a black sort of thread or cord around the child's waist with a little, like a coverture on it. That's probably, people might think it's like that, but it's not like that. Krishna was wearing, as a preschool child, just playing around, rolling in the dust, chasing around, and all these things that children do. He was decorated with probably hundreds of thousands of rands worth of jewelry by today's standards, or maybe more. And that was normal. And if that was normal for the little children, what about the adults? The opulence was just in another dimension, and just easily available. They didn't have mines like up near Johannesburg, Welkom, the Western Deeps, where they go down more than a kilometer into the ground in order to get the gold. No, it was just easily available, because they were living actual God-centered lives. So this is really this whole idea that we will just increase our material capabilities and neglect any religious and, what to speak of, spiritual possibilities, and by doing so, just in one way or another, increasing our material situation, that idea that by doing this, we will get more than people had in the past. This is, unfortunately for them, it's just fictitious. It's just unfortunate. They're just shooting themselves in the feet, but they can't see it. They can't see it. You know, I don't know if you ever tried to deal with a person who was not sane, who really lost their mind. I mean, maybe they're still able to talk, and sometimes you might think that, at least if you first meet the person, you might think that they're relatively normal. But one problem for people who are not sane is that it can be extremely difficult to get them to understand that they're not sane and that they need help. It can be extremely difficult. And in many cases, it's just not possible. And therefore, they're just lost in their little crazy mental world. Yeah. So this is going on. Actually, the people in general are in conditions something like this, that they're missing some very essential and valuable points. And they have some other ideas which are really wrong. But because they are somewhat crazy, you can't get through to them. They're maddened with pride. They're maddened with lust. They're maddened with envy and different attitudes like this. They're maddened with greed. And their capacity to see clearly reality and then in that way make practical and useful adjustments to improve life, they can't do it. They just can't do it. and they take shelter of materialistic intellectuals, like what's his name? Mr. Hawking, is that it? Dr.
Stephen.
Steve. They take shelter of him. He will explain life, and then we'll understand it and be able to deal with it completely successfully. But Srila Prabhupada says elsewhere in Srimad Bhagavatam that this very strong tendency that the ordinary materialistic people have of taking shelter for knowledge, taking shelter for knowledge of these materialistic intellectuals, atheistic intellectuals, who really cannot see the truth, but who present themselves as if they can. Prabhupada said, well, the way Prabhupada put it, it's very good. Prabhupada said, in the absence of the sun, meaning like at midnight, particularly when it's the dark moon time, in the absence of the sun, in the middle of the night, even a glowworm may seem to provide nice light. It's just a glowworm. What is that? It's almost nothing. Compared to the light of the sun, it's pathetic, completely pathetic. But this is their situation. They have a few glowworms around. Of course, many of the glowworms sort of conflict with each other or have conflicting opinions. But they take shelter of the glowworms in this dense darkness of night, of Kali Yuga. And then they're surprised that things are deteriorating, that the scale of war has increased and is increasing. The scale of belligerence in general has increased and is increasing. That things like global warming are happening. And their things like their attraction to sexual activity is just going out of hand altogether. Out of hand altogether. Kali Yuga is winning. You know, the use of drugs like marijuana being legalized and recommended by doctors. This is just, it's so much Kali Yuga. And they're all very proud and, yes, you know, we are progressing. Well, they're progressing downwards. They're really progressing and accelerating downwards. And the point that Srila Prabhupada brings out here, the main point that he focuses on is this point about, well, he talks about the meat eating. There can be a type of meat eating which is not unlawful by Vedic standards. Yeah. It's meat eating done in a sacrificial context. Unfortunately, Mr. Meat Eater, in Kali Yuga, those types, well, any type of demigod worship is not possible. Or, I mean, it's possible you can try and do it, but it will produce no results at all. Yeah. So, but at least, you know, in a Vedic context, in an ultimate sense, the possibility exists even for people to eat meat in a lawful way according to the laws of karma. Although in Kali Yuga it's really not possible. But the main thing is, Prabhupada says, the people of this age will not perform any sacrifice. Yeah. They don't want to do that. But sacrifice is the fundamental, foundational necessity for living even a materialistic life in at least some sort of reasonably stable way without really becoming degraded. Yes, but like we say, in Kali Yuga, you can't even do that. You can't even do that. So as Prabhupada emphasizes at the end of the purport, the only thing, really, is the Sankirtan Yajna. People can only live nicely if sacrifice is performed, really, seriously performed, on a regular basis. But in Kali Yuga, the only sacrifice that can be performed, which will give result, is the Sankirtan Yajna. So therefore, Prabhupada concludes the purport by saying that Lord Chaitanya has recommended only one yajna or sacrifice called the Sankirtan Yajna, the chanting of Hare Krishna, in which everyone can take part. Thus both devotees and fruitive workers can derive equal benefit from the performances of Sankirtan Yajna. So if you're going out on Harinam, if you're going out distributing books, and it seems there are not so many devotees, and there's lots of non-devotees, and you may wonder, are we making progress? Are we, you know, is it worth it? Well, it's worth it. It's worth it. Even though progress may on a certain level appear to not be so fast, but progress is there. Sankirtan Yajna is very powerful, even a lot more powerful than it may possibly appear to be on the surface. The effects go deep. And it's the only thing which will help the devotees, but it's also the only thing that will help the non-devotees, even in their material situations. Otherwise, Kali Yuga, what there's that saying, what was it? Angst rules. Who said that? Anyway, I forget, it was a German philosopher. Angst means anxiety. Angst rules the world. Everyone's in anxiety. But otherwise, if Sankirtan Yajna is not just propagated and developed and expanded, then Kali Yuga will rule. And things, if things are not bad enough now, but things which are frowned on nowadays, they will be accepted in at least your lifetimes. You know, things like pedophilia, sexual activity with children, sexual activity with animals, things like this which are frowned on today, at least officially. Don't be surprised if before you are, you know, you reach the end of your days in this body, don't be surprised if these things are become acceptable and nice and sort of normal. Yeah. Don't be surprised, because Kali Yuga rules. Yeah. And the degrading influence of Kali Yuga is so powerful. But if the Sankirtan Yajna is really promoted and developed very nicely and strongly and regularly by the devotees, then the devotees will be happy and the whole world can change. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.